Since Parshas Pekudei marks the end of Sefer Shemos, we'd expect the Torah to leave us here with a significant message. And yet, Parshas Pekudei seems to be little more than a repetition of Parshas Tetzaveh, much as Vayakel is a repetition of Truma. And the question is why? If so many Gufei Torah were Nitnu Biramiza, as Chazal say, so many Halachos are merely hinted to, why does the Torah spend so much time focusing on the command and the execution of the building of the Mishkan and its Kelim? Rav Pam Zatzal once said in a Chumash Shir that the real difference between Parshas Pekudei and Parshas Tetzaveh lies in one word. In Parshas Tetzaveh, the Torah uses the word ve'asisa, and you should make. You should make a choshen, make a me'il, make a tzitz. But in Parshas Pekudei, the Torah uses the word vayas, and he made. The word ve'asisa, in future tense, reflects the command to build the Mishkan and its kelim. It symbolizes the goal, the dream of building a Mishkan. But the word vayas indicates that Bezalel and all of the craftsmen, all the Chachmei Lev who helped him, achieved that goal. They fulfilled the dream of building all of the details, all of the kelim and the Mishkan itself, exactly according to plan, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. How many dreams remain unfulfilled? How many goals are never accomplished? Many people feel inspired around the month of Elul to try to improve themselves. Towards the end of Yom HaKippurim, people feel moved to accept upon themselves resolutions, sincere resolutions, to grow in Torah, to dedicate more time to learning Torah, to concentrate more in tefillah, to give more tzedakah, and so on. But yet, by the time Chanukah arrives, many people are back to where they've started, with their goals unfulfilled and their excitement dissipated. Every 7 years, there's an enthusiasm in the air as the Daf Yomi prepares to celebrate the completion of another cycle of Talmud Bavli. The festive gatherings that are held to commemorate the occasion of the Siyum HaShas generate excitement for the Daf Yomi program in general, and as a result, there are many new shiurim that are begun. People join the ranks of those who study Daf Yomi. And indeed, for the first 9 weeks that Masechta Brachos is studied, attendance in these shiurim is quite impressive. But then Masechta Shabbos comes. And as someone once said, Ba Shabbos Ba Menucha. Masechta Shabbos is a bit more difficult, a bit more challenging than Masechta Brachos. It's definitely a lot longer. And it's hard for people to keep up the grueling pace anymore. So what happens? Their initial excitement fizzles and they drop their new learning program. It's not easy to achieve the goals that we set. But that's what the Torah is telling us, said Rav Pam, that we shouldn't only dream of growing in Torah, but rather we should set goals and we should do anything that we can to follow through to attain those goals. What does this message have to do with us? 2 weeks before Purim, the spring semester is more than half over. Should we be depressed if there are any goals that we accepted upon ourselves at the beginning of the year that now we feel we're not going to be able to realize? Obviously not. The Torah means to challenge us to work hard to realize our goals, but not to be frustrated. I think there are several points that we could keep in mind, several points that could give us chizuk at this time. First of all, we should perhaps consider whether the goals that we've set are actually reasonable goals. All too often, people think big, too big. If I don't have a 3-hour night seder, that's not called learning. If I don't understand every point in Shia perfectly, I can't move on. Sometimes we set ourselves up for failure with our goals. Chazal say, Eino dome mishashona pirko mea pa'amim le mishashona pirko mea pa'amim ve'achas. There's no comparison between someone who learns a sugya 100 times and someone who learns a sugya 101 times. What do Chazal mean? Someone who learns a mesechta 100 times has done nothing? What does that mean for us? How many times do we do chazara? 2, 3, 5 times? Have we done nothing? I think Chazal are saying exactly the opposite. That each and every time a person learns a sugya, he gains a new perspective his understanding of the sugya is so qualitatively improved that the level that he's achieved is so much higher than that achieved by someone who reviews the sugya only one time less. And if 101 times is so much better than 100, then certainly Kol Shekein 3 times is better than 2, and 5 times is better than 4. Because each and every time is critical, each and every time is significant, it's worthwhile, and we gain a tremendous amount from each and every Mishnah, each and every time that we learn a sugya. This is not only true for the quantity of a person's learning, it's true for the quality of his learning as well, and for the quantity of time that a person devotes to learning. Some bachrim once asked the stipler what they should do to succeed in learning, to be matzliach. How much time should they spend on different sugyas? How fast should they learn? What should their schedule be? The stipler said, supposedly, that he can't fill in all of the blanks for them, but one thing he can say, and that is they should cherish every single moment that they have. And the stipler continued that he learned this lesson from personal experience. When he was a young man living in Russia, the stipler was very poor. He didn't have enough money to bribe the officials to exempt him from his military service, so the stipler was drafted into the army. During the cold winters, the soldiers had to protect themselves from the frigid temperatures with very warm coats, and what they used to do is the soldiers on guard duty would pass the coat one to the other. The soldier completing his shift would give the coat to the soldier taking up the next shift. Said the stipler, there was one Friday night that he was scheduled to be on guard duty, and when he went outside to get the coat from the soldier completing his shift, that soldier looked at the stipler and laughed and threw the coat into the tree and said, "Jew, go fetch." The stipler made a cheshbon with himself. He said, "Look, technically, I'd be allowed to climb the tree. It's only in Issa D'Rabbanan, and it's probably Pikuach Nefesh, but I'm not so cold yet. Let me wait a few minutes, and then I'll climb the tree." A few minutes passed, and the stipler made the same cheshbon. He said, "I'm still not so cold. Let me wait a few more minutes and then I'll climb the tree." And a few minutes led to another few minutes and to another few minutes until the stipler was able to last out the entire hour of his guard duty without climbing that tree. Said the stipler, "I learned the critical lesson from that experience, and that is that we have a tendency of looking at large blocks of time. We think in large blocks, but the truth is small blocks of time can combine together to form large blocks. They can be mitzaref l'cheshbon gadol. And the same is true about learning. People have a tendency of thinking in large blocks, a 3-hour night seder, a whole mesechta. But the fact is that the small blocks, every daf, every amud, even a 5-minute seder, a 15-minute seder, if it's a kviyas itin, even a 15-minute seder can be mitzaref l'cheshbon gadol. This is the first important lesson I think we should consider. And that is, we shouldn't only dream the big dreams. We should focus on even the small points. We should value each and every moment we have and use every moment productively. And we'll see that each and every of these small blocks of time can be mitzaref l'cheshbon gadol. But I think there's another point that we should think about as well. And that is that even if we don't accomplish everything that we set our minds to, both in quantity and in quality, we should not be discouraged, because the process of learning itself, all of the amelos, all of the yigia that we invest in our learning, is a significant achievement as well. The pasuk says in this week's parasha, Vayaviu es hamishkan el Moshe, that the craftsmen Bezalel and all of the artisans, the chachmei lev, brought the mishkan to Moshe. Chazal explained that it was too difficult for them to put up the Mishkan themselves because it was too heavy, so they brought the Mishkan to Moshe in the hopes that he would be able to help them. At first glance, it seems a little bit strange. If all they did was bring the parts of the Mishkan, the Brichim and the Kroshim and the Krosim, to Moshe Rabbeinu, so why does the pasuk say, Vayaviu es HaMishkan? It sounds like they brought the whole Mishkan. I once saw quoted in the name of Rav Shlomo Breuer that perhaps what the Torah is telling us here is that since the Chachmei Lev tried so hard to assemble the Mishkan, since they invested yegia, they invested effort into the process, even though they weren't successful, the Torah treats it to some extent as if they accomplished their goal. It's as if they brought the full Mishkan to Moshe, because they tried. There was amelus, and where there's amelus, That's viewed as an achievement unto itself. When it comes to projects of Ruchnius, Schar is given for the Amelus, no matter what the accomplishment is. Perhaps this is the pshat in the famous Maimar Chazal in Bechukosai Teilecho Shetiyu Amelim Batorah. The Torah promises us all of the brachos as long as we invest energy in Talmud Torah. And the question is, many people ask, why do Chazal interpret the pasuk in this way? Chazal should have said in Bechukosai Teilecho Shetilmedu Torah. Why Shetiyu Amelim Batorah? Shetilmedu Torah. Learn Torah. If you learn Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees you all of the brachos. Maybe the answer is that the Torah is telling us that if we have Amelus BaTorah, if we invest energy and effort into Talmud Torah, we're guaranteed all of the brachos no matter what the accomplishment is. The fundamental yesod is that Amelus itself is a tremendous achievement. The Chafetz Chaim made a similar comment in a different context. We all know the Lashon of the Hadron that we say in the Siyum Masechta, Modim anachnu lefonecha, Hashem alokeinu shesamta chalkeinu miyoshev beis hamedrash velo miyoshev kronos, shehanu amelim veheim amelim, anu amelim mekablim schar, veheim amelim veheinu mekablim schar. At first glance, the Lashon seems a little bit difficult. Is it really true that someone who isn't osik batorah is amel, but he's not mekabel schar? A plumber who fixes the sink, a tailor that makes a suit, isn't paid for their work? The Chafetz Chaim explained that the difference is that a person who's not Omel BaTorah gets paid only if he accomplishes something. But if the tailor doesn't finish the suit, if the plumber doesn't fix the sink, they're not going to be paid no matter how much effort they invested in the project. If you fail the final, no matter how hard you studied, it's unlikely that you'll do well in the course. Because without results, the efforts don't count too much. Imagine if it's the bottom of the ninth, two outs, bases are loaded, you work up a 3-2 count there, you foul off a couple of pitches, but then you strike out. So you schlep yourself back to the dugout as the fans are booing, and your teammates look at you frustrated that you let them down. What are you going to say? I tried? Without a base hit, all of the effort doesn't count too much. But when it comes to Talmud Torah, said the Chafetz Chaim, the schar for the amelus itself, no matter what the achievement is. And that's such a critical lesson. Why is this true? Why is this schar for the amelus, no matter what the achievement is? I think for several reasons. First of all, amelus batorah is a key of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. A person is osig batorah, that's part of Talmud Torah. What's more, it shows chavivus hamitzvah, it shows a love for Torah. But perhaps most important, amelus batorah can transform a person. It can infuse a spiritual energy into him. It can make the person a different individual. It can be mezakei chaneshama, make a person someone completely different. I think that's why we get schar for the amelus batorah no matter what the achievement is. Because amelus batorah is such a significant thing unto itself that there's schar given for that. This is the second idea that we should keep in mind. That even if we don't accomplish all of our goals, even if by the end of the year we feel that we still can't make a good laning on the Gemara, perhaps we've mastered the Gemara, but we find the Rishonim a little difficult still, we shouldn't become discouraged, because the Amelus Batar itself is a tremendous achievement. But I believe there's one final thought which I'd like to share with you that I think we should keep in mind at this time as well, and that is that even if we don't see results immediately, even if we don't feel the accomplishment, that doesn't mean that the accomplishment is not there. Chazal say, Yagati Matsasi Tamin. At first glance, it seems like a contradiction in terms. A Mitzia is normally a word associated with an object a person finds without expecting it. So why is the word Matsasi connected to the word Yagati? The Mishnah should have said Yagati V'lamadati, Yagati V'hispakti. I invested energy and I accomplished something. Why does it say Yagati Matsasi? The Bali Musar explained that when it comes to Talmud Torah, often the accomplishment does not correspond exactly to the invested energy. Sometimes a person learns a sugya and they're about to give up, but suddenly they gain an insight from a different Gemara. They see that the Mafteach to the Sugya was not in the Gemara that they were looking at, but in a different Gemara. You'll spend time on a Tosfos, making a strong leaning on a Tosfos, and then you'll find that there's an insight that comes to you having nothing to do with the thought process that you were involved in before. That's Yogati Matzasi. That I put in effort, but then I was given a gift, I was given a matana. Why does this happen? It's to teach the individual that it's not his intellect, it's not his mind that gives him the accomplishment, but rather it's a matnas Elokim, it's a gift from Hashem. Perhaps this is the deeper meaning behind the Maimer Chazal, Mishinosin Atzmo Hefker Kamidbar Zoche V'Torah Nitnalov Matana. Someone who makes himself Hefker like a Midbar, in other words, someone who doesn't attribute his accomplishments to himself, is Zoche, and the Torah is given to him B'Matana, he gains all of the understanding that he so desires. Accomplishing and growing in Torah needs Siyata Dishmaya. But it takes time. Sometimes we're not zocha to the understanding that we so desire immediately, but rather it takes a little bit of time. What we have to learn is to be patient. As the Gemara in Shabbos says, Habolitaher Mesayin Oso. A person who very much wants to grow in Ruchnius and wants to grow in Torah will get the Siyata Dishmaya. There's a Kabbalah that he'll get the Siyata Dishmaya to achieve everything he wants. But it takes time. If we invest the energy, if we put the effort in, we'll find that ultimately we'll be zoche to the matana of Torah that we so desire. There's a famous mashal of a king who built a skyscraper 100 stories tall, and then he sent forth a proclamation in his kingdom announcing that anyone who climbs to the top of the skyscraper in less than 10 minutes will give via the staircase will get a significant prize. Most people scoffed at the idea, who can climb 100 stories in less than 10 minutes? But one simple-minded individual decided to give it a try. He ran up the first few flights, 10, 20, 30. By that time he was getting a little tired. He ran up the next 20 flights, up to the 50th story. But then he was exhausted. He was about to collapse. And he started to think, why did I get involved in such a silly project? He was exhausted, he still had another 50 stories to climb, and it was already 6 minutes. Well, he had nothing to lose by trying a little bit further, so he ran up, he couldn't run anymore, he dragged himself up the next 10 stories. By that time, he couldn't see straight. He staggered up the last few steps, wiped the sweat that was pouring down his face, and looked up to see a sign that said, elevator to the 100th floor to the left. Sometimes we invest a lot of energy, a lot of effort into Talmud Torah, but we don't see accomplishment. We shouldn't be discouraged. It might not come this year, but if we have reasonable goals and we put in effort and we daven for Siyata Dishmaya, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reach out to us and help us grow beyond our wildest dreams. Thank you.